City harbor lies behind the chain link fence. You can see it from a distance. You can even feel the wind, but you can't walk out on that dock and stand beside the sea torn freighters and sense those stories of the lies that live within. You can't have it the way it was, have to take it as it is. Those times have changed, those days are gone. Days have passed but not forgot. You can't stop the winds of change forever in your mind, self-same. Oh, don't be sad. We were blessed for what we had. Those days are gone and the memories cast in stone. And I know I'm not alone, and it chills me to the bone in this place called home. You can't lose what you don't own. The deepest ties you'll ever know, right here at home. Down Water Street, the storefront's changed a few blocks north. Who'd ever blame to fight against this hurting, changing, waiting game? How many words can twist and burn like spark to hay? No further down, no further down this hurting old time road will stray. You can't have it the way it was, have to take it as it is. Those times have changed, those days are gone. Those days have passed but not forgot. You can't stop the winds of change forever in your mind, self-same. Oh, don't be sad. We were blessed for what we had. Those days are gone and the memories cast in stone. And I know I'm not alone, and it thrills me to the bone in this place called home. You can't lose what you don't own. The deepest ties you'll ever know hurt so bad to let you go. And I thought that I just came to say hello to this place called home. The city harbor lies behind the chain link fence. You can see it from a distance. You can even feel the wind.
Ken Tizard was the bassist in top Canadian rock bands The Watchmen and Thornley. He's actually featured on 6 gold and platinum records before he decided to develop a career as a roots-based singer-songwriter and guitarist. His new album, No Dark, No Light, is his 5th solo record since his debut, Quiet Story House, and Introduction. Ken joined us in the studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference to talk about his music. How are you doing today, Ken?
I'm just waking up, Jan.
great to have you join us. Now, when I got your bio with all of the information, I get excited when I talk to somebody. Say, well, he used to be the bassist in a band. And, you know, the bassist is sort of like, okay, he's the guy in the back that, you know, helps keep the rhythm going. You know, great bassist out there. But let's be honest, they're not really the front men in a lot of musical enterprises. You decided to develop a career as a singer-songwriter, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that.
Well, I mean, I was, even though, you know, as a bass player, I was one of the primary songwriters in the bands as well. I've always written songs. I just used bass and piano as my writing tool. Bass was something that I came into early on in life. I actually thought my first bass was a guitar. I was that young. I didn't know the difference. And I was playing for about a year before a friend of my sister's actually showed me. He actually didn't show me. He said, walked by my bedroom when I was trying to play guitar on my bass. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just learning how to play guitar. He said, well, that's a bass. And I said, what's the difference? And I know there was no internet back then or anything. I was in Newfoundland. It was pretty isolated. And he showed me what a bass did, and I was a little disappointed at first, but then I had it, and it was my method of expressing myself as a teenager. So I learned how to play bass, and it became my vehicle for a long time, and it still is. It's still my primary love. But I've always been a fan of, you know, even when I was touring with the rock bands, you know, I spend most of my nights after the shows in the back lounge of the bus listening to Bob Dylan and Nick Drake and Leonard Cohen and stuff like that while the big party was happening up front. So I think that was always my you know, where my heart lay. And I just, the expression that and the vehicle that I found to play music was, for over 20 years, rock and roll and commercial rock. So it was a good time. I got to see the world and I got to play music that I contributed to writing to. And I really enjoyed that for a long time.
So as a songwriter, as part of the band, I would imagine that you must have been starting to work on songs that you would think, well, you know, maybe this is not a song for the band. This may be something that I either want to say for myself, or you know, were you playing any shows, or were you writing any songs that were more in the roots singer-songwriter vein?
Well, originally when I came to Toronto, I was playing with this sort of singer-songwriter folky art folk rock bands, you know, on Queen Street, you know, a la Rio Statics and stuff like that. And I really enjoyed that. And then when I joined the Watchmen, I mean, that just, you know, I joined in October. We wrote through the winter and recorded, and the record came out in May. And up to that point, the band had toured a little bit before I joined. And the record came out, and we had a top 10 single right out of the gate. And that first tour went on for 22 months. And for the next 10 years, that band took up like every minute of my time. You know, we were touring internationally. We did a lot of touring in Australia, Europe, Canada, back and forth and back and forth. And then we'd have enough money that we'd go down to the States and try and break the market down there. And we'd spend all of our money down there. And then we'd come back and we'd do it all again. And we did that for, you know, the better part of 10 to 15 years. And during that time, whatever anybody wrote, you know, went into the band pool. There were songs that I wrote that, you know, decidedly didn't fit in with the band, and I would find other places to put those things, you know, either in sort of, you know, soundtrack work or side project. Myself and the singer for the Watchmen had a really minimalist project called Audio Playground High and Wide. So anything that didn't fit in the Watchmen, we'd take that and use that in our side project, and we'd play little clubs. And, you know, I was always active with lots of different musicians and stuff. I didn't start playing guitar until a few years back, when I retired from commercial music. My daughters were 3 and 5, and I found myself down in Salt Lake City, Utah, sitting on the sidewalk. It was my daughter's third birthday, and I called her, and I'd been out for 10 months straight at that point, and I realized I missed 30% of my daughter's life. You know, what exactly am I doing? And that was when I made the decision to leave the tour I was on and come home, which I did within a few months after that. And it really changed my life. And when I got home, I thought, well, okay, I'm going to be a father. This is, you know, that's going to be my main role. That's what I need to figure out now. And how can I do that and play music? And I really didn't know. And my first record was actually a bass solo record. And I toured on that a little bit. And then I started playing a little bit of guitar on that one, a little bit more guitar than I had played in the past. You know, I knew the basic chords just for writing and stuff. And then I sort of fell in love with the acoustic guitar. It really sort of took a hold of me. And moving on through the years, even playing other gigs, you know, Ron Hines hired me to go out and play bass with him a couple of years back. And sharing stage with such a master songwriter as Ron. And watching, it was just me and him for most of the shows. And watching somebody sort of just command a room with an acoustic guitar night after night, just inspired me further, you know. So I find that I'm like a teenager again with the guitar. You know, I'm just loving it, and I'm loving exploring new things and watching new people play, and there's a whole lot of stuff there that I'd never paid attention to before, so that's really exciting.
So home is Newfoundland. Are you in St. John's, or are you
St. John's? Yeah, and we had a house out around the bay too, out in Conception Harbor. So I am primarily a townie, but I did spend some time out around the bay.
The new album, No Dark, No Light. Tell us a little bit about that.
That album came about as part of my frustration of being a displaced Newfoundlander, you know, feeling like I'd abandoned my home and missing it dearly every day of my life. But at the same time, realizing that, you know, I've spent as much time in Ontario as I have Newfoundland, and I do have a home here in Campbellford, Ontario. So when I wrote this record, it wasn't a fully conscious effort, but it was in my mind that it would be a division of Newfoundland-based songs and Ontario-based songs. And I think the record probably splits half and half for songs about Newfoundland and songs about Ontario. And they're all very personal songs about friends of mine and experiences that I've had. You know, they're more story-driven songs, story and character-driven than they are sort of the some of my earlier, you know, poppy stuff, which was all about hooks and choruses. Some of these songs, you know, I've totally abandoned I've totally abandoned sort of everything that I've been taught. As the industry around me is falling apart, I've also taken everything that I've learned from the industry over the last 20, 25 years, and I'm throwing it away. And on this record, I went into the studio, and you know, there's one song in particular that it had no form whatsoever. And I just thought, I really, something about this song really speaks to me, and I'm going to put it on the record regardless. I'm not going to do any work on this. I think it's complete. And that attitude has actually inspired some listeners to like that have really gotten into some of the music that I thought nobody would even comment on this record. So it's been a really interesting experience to just truly abandon everything and do what feels right to me and have people react to it.
We started off the interview with Home from the new album. Do you want to tell us about that song?
Every time I go back to St. John's, Newfoundland, well, not every time, but most times, my buddy Clark Hancock picks me up. He's one of my oldest friends. And we go for a drive around town and check out the old sites where we used to grow up. And we, on our journey a couple of years back, we found ourselves down on the waterfront. And there was this huge chain link fence that stretched the entire harbor of St. John. It's like 10 feet high by about 2 kilometers wide or 2 kilometers long. And I guess it's security or whatever that they have to do this. But I mean, growing up, I used to love going down and walking along the dock in the St. John's Harbor and looking at the boats, and suddenly you couldn't do it. And even to take a picture of Signal Hill from the harbor, like you've got this big chain link fence in front of you. And throughout the rest of the day, we drove around, and I noticed so much change happening, a lot of the old churches being turned into condominiums and a lot of the heritage buildings disappearing. And that sort of made me a little sad and angry at first. And then over the course of a few days, that turned into a feeling of being grateful for what I had when I grew up. And that's where the song Home came from.
Great song to start with. You brought your guitar into mm-hmm. the studio today. Would you play for us?
Sure. We covered Home earlier. You played that off the record. And I guess we'll move on to one of the Ontario songs. There's an Acadian button accordion player named Ellie Kelly, who was a very good friend of mine. And she passed away a few years back. And her husband had died a couple of years prior to her. And I was close with both of them, and I was close with both of them as they sort of fought their battle with cancer. And when Ellie called me in September of the year before she died, she said, "My cancer's back. The doctors say I have till February. I want to do one more record, but I want to come into your little studio and do it with friends and family. I don't want to do it with hired musicians. I want to do something sort of that really sounds like a kitchen party." And I said, "Okay, we can definitely do that." The one condition was that we weren't going to talk about her illness during the recording of the record. She didn't want the illness to make it into the record. And we recorded, every day for a couple months. Her energy was up and down, so some days it would only be an hour, other days it would be 2 or 3 hours. And we had a fantastic time doing it. And one night, after she had left, towards the end of the album, I sat down and I started thinking about her husband, Joe, and what they had gone through. And I wrote a song. Which is called "Fare Thee Well," and I called Ellie in late December and said, "I've written a song." I said, I think it's for you from Joe, and I'd love you to come down if you've got the time and play on the demo for it." And she did, which was fantastic. And in May, when I spoke at her funeral, her son told me that the last time she ever played her accordion was the day that she came and played on that song. And I thought that was a real gift for me to share such a final experience with somebody on a song that I'd written for them from a dear family member of theirs. So this sort of gets into the Ontario part of No Dark, No Light. This is a song called "Fare Thee Well."
Fare thee well, fare thee well. I'll see you again in heaven, or I might see you in hell. If there's nothing more when this life is through, then let it stand that I've enjoyed this time with you. On golden shores we'll hold each other once again, or in the depths of hell we'll suffer through the wars of men. If there's nothing more, then I'll say it once again. You've made my life as full and bright as any man's.
don't shed no tears, I don't cry no more. May you find the joy in living life as you did before. Some things will change, some will stay the same. And like a shoebox filled with letters remembered, I'll remain. Please live your life each day and know that I'll be here. Don't you surrender to the sadness and your tears. We'll meet again in a place we don't yet understand, where the music's always happy like a New Orleans jazz band. Just one more kiss before we part. Let me hold you close and feel the beating of your heart. Just one last kiss on a night so blue, I can't bear to spend another minute losing you. Oh, may your hearth grow bright and you stay safe and warm inside. May these four walls protect you from the winter winds outside. When you lay your head down and it's tired and dark between your sheets, and you close your eyes and dream of a place where we might meet. Fare thee well, fare thee well. I'll see you again in heaven, or I might see you in hell. On golden shores we'll hold each other once again, or in the depths of hell we'll suffer through the wars of men. If there's nothing more, then I'll say it once again. You made my life as full and bright as any man. Oh, you made my life as full and bright as any man.
That's Ken Tizard with Fare Thee Well from his new album, No Dark, No Light, on Folk Roots Radio today. We're at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. I'm Jan Hall. Wow, that was lovely.
Thank you, Jan.
It's fairly early in the morning. You know, just to give a little context for the people listening at home, these conferences are really, I don't know, I think of it almost like a musical party. Everybody comes together, plays long into the night. It's a little unusual to be up bright and early to record, but it's actually pretty nice. And I don't know how it feels for you, but it feels kind of nice to be playing such a beautiful song like that at this time of the day.
It does. I find with a lot of radio and press stuff, it is early, and I guess I've been doing it for long enough that I can forego a late night party. I think I've cashed in most of my life's share of drink tickets already, and you know, last night it was getting on midnight when we got settled in, and I was going to go down for some drinks and say hi to people. And I thought, you know, no, I'm going to get up early in the morning and have a coffee and go speak with Jan and make sure that that's good. So yeah, I guess maybe I've learned how to manage the late nights and the early mornings, balance which ones are our priorities.
You know, I love that song so much. I'm going to ask if you can play another for us just now.
Absolutely. I can play one that I wrote for... When I was writing this record, my wife turned to me one night. We were in bed, and she turned to me. She said, "You've never really written me a song." I thought, "Oh no, what a horrible thing to hear." And I started thinking about it, and there was one song that I had been working on, and I thought it was very appropriate. So it's sort of a song in four parts that sort of describe the four different parts of our life. First two parts have happened, and the last two are my hopeful expectations. There's a song called Waste Your Time.
Sun goes down over Wichita Falls. I've seen the best and I've seen them all. At days and nothing more beautiful to see. You wring your hair and you drape your clothes. Sunlight's your silhouette shape exposed. It's clear you're bringing out the best in me. Why you wanna waste your time with me? Why you wanna waste your time with me? Morning breaks, I haven't slept all night. Sunlight warms to your skin's delight. I'm dying just to sit here and watch you breathe. Pressed to your chest lies a mother's joy. Dreams, little dreams of a little boy. This feels like a luck I can't believe. Why you wanna waste your time with me? Why you wanna waste your time with me? Now it's been 10 years, or maybe 12, and we've had some times that have felt like hell, but you held your ground and stayed strong and true for me. In the good times far outweigh the bad, and the happiness outweighs the sad. There's just one question here, my friends agree. Why you wanna waste your time with me? Why you wanna waste your time with me? Now the years have passed and they've grown and gone, and all I can do is sing this song in a voice that cracks, a melody carefree. On the porch we sit as the sun fades away. We wave to the neighbors across the way. I still can't believe you did all this with me. And you say, do you want to waste some time with me? Do you want to waste some time with me? Do you want to waste some time with me? Do you want to waste some time with me?
Ken Tizard with Waste Your Time on Folk Roots Radio today at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. His new album is No Dark, No Light. We're having a chat about that. It's interesting how you talk about this album. There's almost something cathartic about, you know, perhaps coming to terms with the fact that you left Newfoundland. You know, you were traveling so much. Home is now in Ontario. Do you ever see you'll go back and live on the island again?
I don't go back and live. I mean, I'll go back for a few weeks at a time. And I do go back pretty regularly. It has been a conscious effort of mine on this record and while writing this record to spend more time in Newfoundland and be more a part of the music scene back there, because I've been gone for so long. And, you know, since March, I've been back 3 times and I've done, you know, I don't know how many shows back there, and things are actually going really well. This is the first time in a long time that I've felt a part of the Newfoundland music scene. I mean, the Watchmen and Thornley, we never did much performing back there. Just the expense of getting to the island was too much, you know, with all of our equipment and stuff. So we'd only go back when it was sort of, you know, a large concert, you know, at Mile One Stadium or George Street Festival or something. You know, we couldn't go back and do the sort of 800 to 1,000 seat clubs as we could everywhere else. So for a long time, I felt really disassociated with the scene. And I'm starting to feel now closer to it than I have in a long time. And from a personal standpoint, you know, I've always felt a deep connection with Newfoundland. I've got a lot of family there and a lot of friends, and I've maintained those relationships over the years. I've spent a fair bit of my energy just trying to make sure I make phone calls and keep in touch with people, because, you know, I see Newfoundland as my birthplace, but it's also the place where all my firsts happened, or the majority of my firsts, and those memories and those experiences are kind of what make you a human being, you know, and they stick with you for your life. So I'll never be able to change those firsts, and I'll always have that strong association with home.
Can we talk about the live experience? Mm-hmm. You know, watching you play just the acoustic guitar here, a real sense that how comfortable you are. Just, you know, I can imagine sitting in a bar or a cafe, you know, playing a few tunes and, you know, telling a few stories from the songs that you've written.
Mm-hmm.
Is it mostly solo work you do now, or do you have situations where you can get together and play with a band as a touring proposition? Or, you know, one of the big issues is the cost of touring. And, you know, and often it's easy to grab your guitar and head off than actually, you know, plan to take people with you to bring those songs to life.
The cost of touring is really, really large. And I've done it on many levels, you know, from tour buses and transports down to just, you know, me and my dog and my guitar, and I'm sleeping in the back of a truck. I find these days, and with the sort of folk singer-songwriter scene, I find that people are just as interested in the stories and the songs as a stripped down medium as they are the full band experience. Full band experience means, you know, sound men and lighting and larger PAs and lots of microphones and lots of troubleshooting and lots of time. Also lots of hotel rooms and lots of meals to pay for everybody. And that's really hard when you're, you know, if you're doing like a house concert circuit or even a small, small venue circuit. That being said, I have a large community of musical friends, and this year I've done several larger shows. West Bend is a theater up near where I live, and they run a music festival all summer, which is primarily classically based, but they do a little bit of sort of roots and world music as well. And they had me perform there in June. And I brought in, there's the main core is myself, Luke Mercier, who's a multi-instrumentalist, and he plays banjo and fiddle and mandolin and slide and a bunch of other things. And Ken Grant, who's a bass player who I'm absolutely in love with. I've been playing with Ken Grant for years. So as a trio, we can go out and do most everything and, you know, add a little bit of foot stomping to it, and it sounds like a full band. But I can add on to that as well. I've got Christian Tanna, who's a drummer friend of mine, and Mike Billard, who played on the record, who's also available for a lot of shows. And when I did West Bend, I had, you know, the four people, and then I had Brian Finley playing grand piano. I had a five or six piece choir with me as well, and a few other musicians as well. So I think there was at times 15 of us on stage. So the great thing about this music is, you know, as a songwriter, it works really well in an intimate environment, but I can also expand on it. And I have the musical history that, you know, if there's a little, you know, sort of set of singers coming in or something, I can do arrangements for them that they can understand. And I've got enough experience with that I can sort of do the arranging for a full band and everybody can show up. I can just have their charts or music ready for them, and we can get through it pretty easy. But it is really expensive, and most promoters can't afford that. And, you know, the concert, you know, let's face it, the live music world has changed an awful lot. And I think it is coming back. I think people are going to start craving it more and more. I think people are going to start craving human interaction more and more over the next few years. I certainly hope we've hit the limit of all staring into our phones. You know, but that seems what people are doing. And the expendable, you know, the average household or person who used to spend $400 a month on entertainment, be it movies or theater or going to an art exhibit, $100 a week was, you know, the average person's income. Most everybody now is spending, most households are spending $300 to $400 on their satellite, internet, and cell phones. That expendable money is gone. So it's a challenge, you know. But I, at the same time, I do really enjoy touring solo. It's a little bit lonely, but I enjoy the relaxed vibe of, you know, a small audience and just telling stories. And I can do it with a large audience too. So it's I kind of go wherever it takes me and do whatever is necessary. But I'm very appreciative of the fact that I have the skills and knowledge to put together whatever type of ensemble I want for a specific show. And that always excites me.
You put it very well. I'm going to ask you to play one more song for us today.
Sure.
What are you going to play for us this time?
Oh, well, would it be all right if I paid a little tribute to a guy who had a lot to do with this record, play a Ron Hines song?
I'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That, absolutely.
Ron, working with Ron Hines is a very interesting thing, and he's not very forthcoming with information. And I got hired for the tour, and I went down. I thought it was a full band tour. I didn't get any information on the tour aside from the date of the first show. And when I arrived in Newfoundland for rehearsals, I quickly discovered it was just going to be me and Ron for the shows, which as a bass player is extremely scary, playing, you know, sort of large theaters, playing bass for a singer-songwriter. You know, you can't really hit a wrong note. And he wouldn't tell me what songs we were doing or what keys we were playing in, and he's known as the man of a thousand songs. Right up to when we went on stage, I didn't know what we were doing. And one of the first songs we ever did was a song called 1962, and it's been one of my favorites. I've been playing it in my sets the last while. And I do it a little different than Ron did it, so I hope he doesn't get mad when he hears it. But it's a song by Ron Hines. And I dreamed it was 1962. I dropped a quarter in the jukebox and I played a song for you. I kissed you by the pinball king. We were listening to Del Shannon sing. And I had all his records. He was my favorite then. And that's all gone. It won't come back again. That's all gone. It won't come back again. I woke and I put on my father's shoes. I stood out on the front porch as he used to do. I stepped across the morning sands. The skyline only showed a sign of rain. Mine would be the only footsteps that remain. And that's all gone. It won't come back again. And that's all gone. It won't come back again. There was something I meant to say. Too many words got in the way. And I dreamed it was 1962. I lit a fire on the beach and I lay in the sand with you. We'd sing songs until the rain would come. Straight across the fields we would run. You'd wrapped your sweater around my first guitar. I walked you home. And that's all gone. It won't come back again. And that's all gone. It won't come back again. There was something I meant to say. Too many words got in the way. And I dreamed it was 1962. I dropped a quarter in the jukebox and I played a song for you. I kissed you by the pinball king. We were listening to Del Shannon sing. And I had all his records. He was my favorite then. Him and Brian Wilson, that's all gone. It won't come back again. And that's all gone. It won't come back again.
That's Ken Tizard with a wonderful cover version of Ron Hines' 1962. That was absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
I may just keep him around for the rest of the day to say, okay, next. What does the future hold?
I really don't know. I've been playing music for 25 years. I was extremely well trained in an industry whose infrastructure has totally and completely fallen apart. I feel like a shoemaker who's spent his life learning how to make shoes only for the government to turn around and give free shoes to every person on the planet. And I don't know. However, this is all I can do. This is all I will do. I will find a way to make it work. I'm not sure what that's going to be. Right now, the immediate future, you know, a lot of it for me, coming from 25 years of playing rock and roll and knowing a business model so well it doesn't exist anymore, a lot of it for me right now is reintroducing myself or introducing myself to a brand new world. And that world is the sort of singer-songwriter folk world. You know, fans of The Watchmen and Thornley, some of them like what I do, but for the most part, they're rock and roll fans, and to hear a guy with an acoustic guitar is kind of boring for them. And it's been my experience the last few years that it's very difficult to get the people that have revered and protected the folk world for so long to get them to actually listen to me, or even, you know, just put on a CD and have a listen has been very challenging. On this record, I am finding that when these people do, they're pleasantly surprised and very willing to bring me into the fold, which has been great. So I'm hoping to just continue with that. You know, my kids are now grown up. They're teenagers. They're going to be gone soon. My wife will be retired from teaching soon. And our idea, and it's been our plan for a long time, that, you know, when she retires, we're going to spend more time sort of in a Winnebago, just traveling around North America. And I'm going to take up the back end of our life playing songs while we travel around. So that's kind of the game plan. You know, whatever life throws at us in the meantime, I don't know. But that's where I plan to go with it all.
Hearing you play for us today makes me feel that I can really see that vision that you have. It's an interesting story, you know, and I think we all at different times in our lives need to recreate ourselves. And mm-hmm. I think you're doing a fabulous job.
Oh, thank
doing
you.
That. It's been great to have you join us today. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Well, kentizzard.com is the best place to go to. That's the website. The last month or so, I've been running a promotion called Who the Folk Is Ken Tizzard. Just, you know, going back to what I was saying, most people don't know me as a folk or singer-songwriter. So I've been doing a lot of personal evaluation of the music model as it exists. And I have decided that, you know, the $20 price tag that most records have on them is due to a record company model that's based around $18 worth of marketing and promotion and staff cost for every album. And I don't know that I need to charge that. I'm not running the same costs. I don't have the same recoupment. So I'm trying a new thing. And I just started about a month ago. I was at a show in Picton, and it was about 50 people there. And I thought, at the end of the set, I thought, CDs are $20. I said, but tonight, for this 15-minute break, I'm going to sell them to you for $4, which still makes me $2 a CD, which was more than I'd make if I was with a record company. And I've got you here already, so I don't need to advertise to you. And I stepped off stage, and in 15 minutes, I sold 36 CDs, which was way more than I would have at, you know, the usual $20 price. And that night, I lay in bed, and I thought, the majority of that crowd left that show and they put the CD in their car or they brought it home. They're not going to wake up in the morning and think, oh, who was that guy we saw last night? He was pretty good. They're going to wake up and listen to the music. And that to me is more important right now. So that's kind of how I'm doing my entire game plan right now. I'm just changing everything. It's about getting the music into people's hands at a price that seems fair for everybody and I can still feed myself. And I just need to... I need to sort of really push that. Vinyl, I did do vinyl on this album. That's a little bit more expensive just because the vinyl is so expensive to ship and make. But when it comes to CDs and digital, you know, this overpriced thing that's been inflated because of this record company model, I've just been thinking about it. And I don't think it's necessary in this day and age, you know, especially when music is free, essentially. I mean, you can hear the entire album on my website for free. But if you feel like helping out, you can buy a copy for $4. And that's a pretty good deal.
That just sounds like an incredible deal.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you join us today. We have time for one more song. I'd like to play something else from the album. Mm-hmm. What are we going to play?
This is a song called Mud on My Boots on the record, which I wrote for Trenton farmer Frank Myers. Frank Myers is an 86-year-old farmer who's been living on his land for his entire life. His father farmed there before him and his grandfather before him. The land was given to his great-grandfather by the King of England, and he still has the deed handwritten in perpetuity, which means forever if you ever signed a record contract. Or if any musicians who might be signing record contracts, if you ever see the phrase in perpetuity, take a closer look. But that essentially meant that the land would be Frank's forever, or Frank's family's. And when Trenton Air Base was expanding, they bought up all the farmland north of the Trenton Air Base, but Frank refused to sell, and they ended off in a 7-year land battle with the Ontario government. And in the end, they did take his land. They left him a little parcel for his house, and they wrote him a check for fair market value, which, to the best of my knowledge, is still sitting at his lawyer's office. He refuses to cash it because he never wanted to lose his land and stop farming. And I got caught up in the story, living in the proximity of Frank Myers and hearing it in the news constantly year after year. And I wrote him a song called Mud on My Boots, which is an ode to Frank Myers. And when I was recording the song, he came into the studio. We were recording it in an old church in Trenton. And he came in. He'd heard a bit of the song. He'd never heard the whole thing. And it turned out to be the church that he went to when he was 6 years old. And it's now a studio. And he came in and I sat down with him as me and you are sitting now across from each other. And I played him the whole song. And he was in tears. And he couldn't believe how I'd captured his story. And he used it for his we shot a little video and stuff for it, which is on the website. And he used that for his campaign when he was trying to get a petition signed to try and keep his land and stuff. But in the end, he did lose it. But it's a really nice song. It's I guess that would be sort of I'm hoping that will become one of those traditional Canadian folk songs, because it's a definite real story about something that happened. And it had a huge impact on me seeing him go through that.
That's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that with us today. This is Ken Tizard with Mud on My Boots from his new album, No Dark, No Light. Ken, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Jan. I've had a wonderful morning.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Mud on my boots, I'll stick to my word. You'll never take this farm from me, the bureaucrats they heard. I'll dig in my heels, 'cause I know how that feels. I've been working this land for so long. This is my land, this is my home. This is my life, there's nothing else I'd ever known. My father before me and his pa before him. In the ground we did sow, that's the way it's been. You can put up your signs, your fences and your threats. You'll never take this land from me, I don't owe you any debts. Your lawyers and your politics don't have no place round here. You'll never drive me out, this is my land, I'm staying here. They beat Frank Myers down so far he's almost in the ground. The battle raged around him, and no peace he'd ever found. The talking heads talk carefully with the truth behind the lie. In the dark, no one hears an old man cry. Take the offer or we'll ruin you, the message clearly read. We're gonna take this anyway, so quit while you're ahead. You've got no ground to stand on, you've got a losing hand. Don't waste your last year's fighting, there's no doubt we'll take this land. Mud on my boots, I'll stick to my word. You'll never take this farm from me, the bureaucrats they heard. I'll dig in my heels, 'cause I know how that feels. I've been working this land for so long. I've been working this land for so long.